Hi, welcome to the Parasocial Social Club.
I'm Charlie James.
I'm Jewel Karenin.
And we're your hosts.
And this podcast is all about exploring the mind-bending power of parasocial relationships.
We investigate our own parasocial relationships and interview people we all have parasocial relationships with.
And today, our guest of parasocial honor is Twitch streamer Hey Kip, who has some absolutely mind-blowing things to say about parasocial boundaries.
We chat about how they went from making money from streaming subscriptions to making money through other platforms' ad revenue, and we find out if they have their red receipts on.
Their what receipts?
I say red receipts, and other people insist it's read receipts, but why would you send a receipt that says read? It's a receipt that says I read it.
Your logic,
it was read.
Your logic is sound.
Thank you.
And yet, you are culturally wrong.
Can't be so.
Welcome to the Parasocial Social Club. All right, Charlie. So I had something parasocial happen to me.
Good or bad? Which one?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes. Both, I would say, good and bad. So I went to Julio Torres's comedy show at the Largo.
Huge fan.
Huge fan.
Really talented. Problemista?
Problemista. Los Spookies. Upcoming HBO show I can't remember the name of. I can't wait.
Brand new, just announced.
Literally,
no?
Like days ago.
Incredible.
Okay, so anyways, I went to his show because I love him. I went with my friend Maddie.
I wish I'd known that was even happening.
Well, sorry, I didn't invite you.
I just feel like I go to Largo. Yeah, Maddie. First of all, I'm pissed at you. No, Largo emails me like every 2 days, and I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
I know Mae Martin's back with Friends. You don't have to tell me.
Yes, and it was
familiar.
It was a Julio Torres and Friends
yeah,
show.
Yeah, because they always are.
As they always are.
And you know some of those people are not friends. What are you talking about? You're telling me Ellen DeGeneres is friends with Steve Hart? Actually, that makes complete sense.
That actually works completely well.
Whatever.
So I'm at the show. And we're sitting in the second row because we got there early. I got there early, stood in line, got my seats assignment, and we're in the second row. And so I'm watching Julio Torres do a show, and it's wonderful. It's hilarious. He sits down in a chair and says that he wanted to have projections, but he didn't get them ready in time, and that's why the projection screen is set up, and he's sorry.
So the screen's down, but nothing's going on.
The screen's up, nothing's going on. He has a giant, like much bigger than a normal size notebook that he opens up and like uses to reference to do his jokes. So I'm in love. And I realized at this show that I was actively forming a much stronger parasocial relationship with him than I had before. Because I was just a fan. I was like really connected to the art.
Yeah.
And I just thought he was great, but at the show, he's right there, you know, he's like, as far as our sound engineer is right now, a little further on a stage, and I was doing the thing where you're at a show and you lean in to show them how engaged you are. Like,
you want them to know that you're having a good time and they're doing a good job.
Like when you're on a date. Like when you're on a date and you lean in to flirt, to you show your interest.
Yeah.
And it's not like a conscious thing. It's just a thing you naturally do because you're really interested in the person.
But you're no longer a passive observer.
Yeah, you're not a fucking audience member.
I'm different. I'm leaning in.
I'm not like the 150 other people who are at your sold out Largo show. And that's how I knew that I was like, I accidentally formed a parasocial relationship with you because I want you to be in love with me, actually.
Wow.
As your audience member.
Of all the people to fall in love with, I really understand.
I know.
Because talk about just the uniqueness of his voice.
I know.
I think the more unique someone is, the easier it is to fall for them in particular.
Tell me about it.
You know, you're not like, oh, I hope one day to meet my Julio Torres. It's like, that's not a person. But,
exactly.
Well, it's just one person. And that's the problem.
I know.
So I completely understand.
I really want to be his friend.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. Is anything parasocial going on with you?
Well, I had this thought. So I've been watching the new John Mulaney show, Everybody's in L.A. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in L.A.?
Sounds right.
Everyone's in L.A. I think it's everybody. Everybody's in L.A.
Do it in the voice.
I just got so shy. I've never started with an E before. The show's called Everybody's in L.A., and yeah, it makes no sense, and the pacing's kind of awkward. Get used to it. Anyways, it reminded me. Oh my god, I screamed. It reminded me of this thing that drives me nuts and kind of plays into today's episode, which chronologically has actually already happened to us.
Right. And very good.
Is that how this works?
Yes. Yeah, sorry, I'm checking to see if our Domino's pizza's here.
Absolutely.
Yet. It's not. It's on the way.
I think John Mulaney, and I've. Okay, I'll start with this. He has made a huge oversight. Somebody who works for him has not put together that his Tumblr from 2005 is still available.
Yes.
And he has, like, it's posts that he wrote being like, hey, I have a show in, like, this small theater, whatever, in New York. And a lot of it is about him and his ex-wife. Many, many posts where he's like, photo of me and Anna on the couch. And I just think there's like a time when you scrub the internet of things like this, and he and a few other people missed it or thought in some way it was going to be a good social media to have to keep advertising for him. I mean, there's ads for shows he's on as recently as like Oh Hello. So
they're still actively using it. Or they're
not
stopped
actively a few
now.
Years ago.
Okay.
But I think in light of him being so publicly divorced, I almost am like, is there a hotline I can reach out to say, I would make this private?
There needs to be a delete your Tumblr hotline.
I really, just, yeah, for like your own, the comfort and ease of going through a divorce where you've written posts about your,
God,
anyways.
For her sake, that Tumblr needs to get
1,000%. Can I give some examples?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so like there's one way further up, and it's a photo of his now ex-wife Anna flipping off the camera, and it says like hiking with Kid Rock, and I'm like, that photo has to go. There's no reason that has to be on your public whatever. Okay, but then there's other stuff where I'm just like, why is this here? So National Sibling Day, he posts a photo of him and his younger sister, and then the next thing he posts, he says, I also have two older brothers, and it's a photo of the Menendez brothers in court. And it's like,
it's not even funny, but I did laugh.
Promote something. I don't know what this is. And it's just, it's like, it's interesting to have a snapshot of somebody's public social media before they got too famous to be like this.
Right.
This is a CD he stole from his brother.
This is also like a Tumblr of someone. Like, this is a very unique use of Tumblr. Like, no normal person was using Tumblr like this. Like, even John Green wasn't using Tumblr like this.
No.
This is essentially like a Zanga, basically.
I remember scrolling way back to be like, what is there? And so there's one where it's like a photo of him, and like, it's him standing in front of a photo that was framed in his like childhood home, and he's just like telling the story of that photo. And I was like, how interesting that you thought that this was what.
And they don't have that many notes. They have like 59 notes.
Yeah, it's for nobody.
Like, nobody was clicking heart.
That's kind of beautiful.
On their dash.
I love that. Just posting.
So actually, now that we're here in this present time, do we actually want him to delete this? No, like, I don't want him to delete it.
No, I find it juicy, but if I, in the way that I feel like obliged to look out for other people on the planet.
So true.
I go like, if I worked for him, I would be like, this has to come down immediately.
So true. So true.
Yeah.
I do think every famous person should have a specific consultant for these kinds of things.
And it should be me for everyone. I really think that.
Fair enough.
I really do. I'd be so good.
Absolutely no arguments here. nothing to strike that down with.
Shall we check in on our parasocial relationships?
Oh my God, yes. So
okay, you go.
So, you know, I always have like 7 to 12 parasocial relationships going at any given time. Mm-hmm. And the one I want to check in on today, actually, I can't remember what his username is.
Okay.
That's how far away he is from me.
But you like know his name?
No, he's on YouTube and he does steps videos where he just steps. And then each video is like 5,000 steps or 10,000 steps.
In place, he steps?
Yeah, he steps in place. Sometimes he does a little dance move, but mostly just stepping. And he's really positive. And every few steps, he goes, good job, good job.
We got to get this guy a treadmill.
I'm in love with him. And he like definitely like, I'm not sure where he lives. He lives in like Singapore or something. Like sometimes he like does it on the beach, but usually it's in his living room and there's cats. And I don't even care about that, but there's cats. And anyways.
That doesn't even matter.
I wanted to check in about him because I haven't been doing his steps videos lately because I live in the world now and I'm
you
not.
You do them with him? You step together?
Yeah. When you need to get your steps.
Understood. Understood. Never mind.
So honestly, I'm just wondering where he is and I'm kind of just putting this out here so that everyone knows about him. And then, you know, when I check in with him again, we'll all like have a basis for who he is.
See what he's up to now. I want to know if he increases his steps over time. That would be my biggest question for him.
Like daily, his daily average?
Yeah, if he's like, every day I do one more step or something.
No, he lives a nice, calm life. He's not trying to meet arbitrary goals like that.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I find all I'm trying to meet are arbitrary goals.
Huh. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I keep a tight ship. With really one major parasocial relationship.
That's who I want to check in on is who we talked
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. So this is, and I think there are interesting, I got too excited and I couldn't really talk. With Mr. PJ Vogt, who hosts a podcast called Search Engine.
Formerly known as the Reply All guy.
Yeah, he was the Reply All guy. And then briefly he hosted Crypto Island and crypto stopped really existing. And he said pivot and it became Search Engine. It's so interesting, since we last spoke, I feel like you have developed, there's like a much clearer picture of who he is, specifically what he struggles with in these episodes.
On social media? Oh, episodes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the topics specifically, well, first of all, there's one, here we go. He talks a lot about how he was prescribed ADHD medication for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And when he went off of it, he kind of was like, why was I ever taking speed for so long? So that was really interesting. It was like two parts and you hear like his perspective of being basically like, I think that I was way over prescribed medication and it maybe lost me like some really good years of my life where I could have been like more present and careful. Mm. Which leads you to go at Reply All? Okay. Leads me to go that way. Then there's other ones where there's one called When Do You Know It's Time to Stop Drinking? Right? And he doesn't drink, I don't believe. But he basically, he has a lot of friends who struggle with addiction. And he talks about that a lot in these. So there's that one. What else?
This really, yeah, these are revealing of.
Yeah, I mean, they're not all like this. Like, some of them are, where did all the roaches go?
So true.
And what are we going to do about all these cats? So, like, not deeply personal. Then there are a few about illegal weed stores in New York. There's one called, like, does anyone actually like their job? And I was like, oh, buddy. Oh, this one. What do trigger warnings actually do? Was really interesting. And what I learned is they're not that effective. I thought they were pretty helpful to people.
I agree.
I assumed. But the research shows that it's probably not true.
Research is anti the neoliberal agenda.
That couldn't be further from the truth. Interesting. Okay. But in it, he talks a lot about his own personal perspective. I'm talking a lot about PJ Vogt. His own perspective is like when he sees him having been suicidal and hospitalized for a suicide attempt, when he sees like content warning or trigger warning suicide, he's like, you think the mention of it is going to get me to do it again? Mm. I think most people understand that that's not really the why the warning is being
yeah,
given.
Yeah, PJ.
But, but it was a really interesting episode, and I learned a lot about that the data says that it doesn't actually prime you for the information you receive.
Well, that yeah, that's true, I guess.
The only people it helps is people who then choose not to take in whatever
that's
information
what
it was.
I was like, isn't that the point of a trigger warning is to be like, yeah, maybe I don't want to watch this movie
but
about this?
The data shows that typically the people who make that choice are neurotypical and don't, whatever the trigger was doesn't actually apply to them. So most people engage in this self-triggering behavior where you go, oh, trigger warning addiction. Well, I struggle with addiction. I'm interested in whatever this is. That was what fascinated me the most, is the people who go, this isn't for me,
oh.
are people who don't struggle with that topic.
Yeah, but like they, like, but the people who do struggle with the topic, like they still got to make that decision for themselves.
Totally.
And I still want them to have a trigger warning.
Totally. But it doesn't make them, once picking it, it doesn't make them less upset, whatever. The warning doesn't like... act
soften
as a buffer.
The blow.
Yeah.
Right.
But it allows them to make the choice, which I think agency is like
yeah.
the crux of it. Anyways.
Very interesting.
That's what's going on with somebody I think about too much.
Do you think something's going on with him that's causing him to choose? Do you think he's running out of podcast topics? So that's why he's being more personal?
No, but I'm going to say something so parasocial, which is I think due to the fallout that happened at Reply All, where he had like a very, he had like a persona right. almost. I think he's trying to be more vulnerable and show like uh-huh. humanity.
That's good
and to
PR
say, like,
strategy.
These are the things that I struggle with.
Good PR strategy, PJ. Yeah.
And he's not afraid to play like unlikable in his own show, which I kind of appreciate.
Well, he's got, I think he kind of has to play into that. That's like part
yeah.
of his thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm pro or anti PJ.
Yeah.
I know.
It's a struggle. I searched him on Twitter recently to be like, what are we feeling? And a lot of people are like, re-cancel PJ Vote. And I'm like, oh, okay. Why?
Wait, but for real? Tell
but
me
I don't
why.
Ask, but I don't ask.
But actually tell me why.
I think the reason is just one time he didn't want a union really bad.
And just keep canceling him for that, as far as I'm concerned.
I think it's that again, yeah.
And I agree. And I think you agree too, but it's still your parasocial relationship.
I feel like I've made bigger mistakes than saying let's not do a union. Oh yeah, like I've done worse shit.
Okay,
that's how I feel about it. Being a human is so ugly, you know.
God, your relationship with this guy is fucking hilarious.
Leave room for growth. That's all I'm saying. I hope his whole workplace is unionized now.
All right. Do we have anyone else to check in on?
No. That is the only person I consistently let into my brain.
I'm sure we'll collect more, but yeah. I did want to yeah. check in on him.
Thank you.
Okay. So now let's transition. Before we speak with our guests, mm-hmm. let's do a very important segment, which is called the Parasocial Scholar Corner,
ooh.
Where we have a scholarly discussion about some element of parasociality. And today, the element is childhood parasocial relationships.
Jewel, you had a childhood parasocial relationship.
Rupert Grint and I were destined to be wed. I made photoshops of us in photos together. Mm-hmm. I truly loved him. He bought an ice cream truck with his Harry Potter income.
Yes.
And I thought that was the most delightful, intriguing, spectacular, wonderful thing a person could do.
I think that's so funny. That he was like, I want to be the ice cream man. Is like really, after being
mm-hmm.
Ron.
After being Ron. So yeah, that was like that. And then the other important one I want to mention is I had a mild parasocial relationship with them, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. Mm-hmm. But it made me think about fan clubs. They had a Mary-Kate and Ashley fan
yes.
club,
and
a male fan club.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the original, like, acting like the celebrity is interacting with you. Or maybe it's not. There's probably much more ancient versions of a celebrity acting like they're interacting with you than just mailing you shit. Mm. But yeah, so anyways, I wanted to marry Rupert Grint. I loved him. And I think that there's a lot of parasocial relationships we form in childhood, unless you're our guest later today.
Who has Kim no is a huge shock. Relationships. Some people's brains are different.
It's amazing. You guys are going to hear all about it. But I think that, like, as kids, we have no idea we're forming these pairs. We probably have them with our teachers, with like authority figures, where it's like people we don't know, but we like project onto them that we know them.
Huh.
Or we want to know them so deeply that we Photoshop ourselves into pictures together.
I really love that. I never Photoshopped myself, but I had a friend with a pretty deep parasocial relationship, and I did some Photoshopping.
Can you share?
Yeah, of my friend Brooke and comedian Bo Burnham. But this is back when Bo Burnham was like, granted, I think we were probably 14.
Yeah.
And Bo Burnham could not have been older than 18.
Yeah, and he was like a YouTuber to be in, right?
He maybe was even younger than that. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and this was right around the time of yeah, that's true.
Rupert Grint was also age appropriate.
Rupert Grint
just
also
FYI.
Used to be a boy. You were like, yeah, I'm not some sick perv, by the way. yeah.
So you were delivering gifts of Bo Burnham Photoshops.
Nice that you had really age appropriate parasocial relationships.
Why did you have NPR? Your relationship with NPR?
With the people on NPR? I was worried that NPR stood for something that was like sex crimes unit of something.
No, just the National Public Radio.
You know, I really liked Wait, Don't Tell Me. And,
oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What's the one that Marianne and
The words
oh, we can't
that you don't know.
It ain't that.
The words.
Whatever.
Away with words.
Isn't that yeah.
It? That's it. Did you have a parasocial
relationship? I think it is a way with words.
Mm-hmm.
No. I didn't have a parasocial relationship with them. We knew them in real life.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Anyways, I had one with Lindsay Lohan because she was a little redhead girl and I was also a little redhead girl. And I watched The Parent Trap a lot of times. And then when she... got older, she did some like weird chemical peel where they removed a bunch of her freckles, and I always hated my freckles when I was a kid, and I was like, I want that. My parents were like, Lindsay, what the fuck? But then Lindsay Lohan had like a very public meltdown, and that's when I was like, oh, I've been looking up to someone who is not doing so hot. And now she wrote a poem to ISIS, so I feel okay without, you know.
Yeah,
I
don't know what Rupert's up to right now. I assume he's just sitting on his mounds of cash, not unlike Lindsay.
It feels like a choice that you don't know.
Thank you.
Not by you, but by Rupert Grint. Did you think I was...
I thought you were complimenting
No,
me.
I think I'm saying he doesn't have a big presence, and that must be intentional.
Huh. Yeah. All right, let's get to our interview today. It's a really good interview. You guys are going to enjoy it a lot. Okay. I am so excited to introduce our guest for this episode of the Parasocial Social Club, Kip. Kip is an extremely talented creator who developed their audience by being very funny and chaotic while streaming game playthroughs, along with a lot of other stream activities, absurd stream activities. They've built a massive following through their Twitch channel and have garnered millions of views on YouTube and TikTok and hundreds of thousands of followers across platforms. Nice work. Recently, they have been streaming a lot of calming puzzle and storytelling games, which I've been enjoying very much. And Kip also exists in the physical plane and does live clown and sketch comedy shows in LA. Kip, You are a parasocial icon. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah. What's up?
What's up?
Oh, my God.
Happy to have you.
I'm ready.
We're extremely grateful you're here, and I have so much to ask you.
And I got some stuff to say if you want.
We have quite a few questions.
Okay, so to start us off, I just want to give the audience a little bit of context of how we all know each other, which is a very, very tangled web.
A beautiful web.
But in summary, we all are San Diego bred, correct?
That's kind of crazy.
It is.
Three people in the same room from San Diego.
Statistically unlikely.
Yeah, well, I guess four, maybe.
How?
Four?
You are not a part of
two. I never think of her as from San Diego, but you're right.
The cat is from San Diego.
Yeah, born on the streets.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, actually?
Yeah.
Martyr.
Oh, wait, awesome.
They found her in a big box with others, but...
Oh, that's sweet.
Okay, so we're all San Diego origins, and... We all know each other through some sort of improv connection.
Yeah.
San Diego origins. Mm-hmm. And then, like, randomly, one time I was streaming on Twitch, and you popped into my chat, where, by the way, like, four people were watching this stream. Like, no one was watching the stream.
And I was like, watching the stream. I was there.
Like, I was there. Look.
Two eyes on one screen.
You're right.
You know?
You're right. Thank you. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And then, but I remembered that you streamed. And then I saw you on Twitch and I watched your streams. And I was like, wow, Kip, like, really streams?
Mm.
Like, actually, like, I was just trying something out. But you were like, you like had a setup. You had people watching you. Like, you had a community.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even remember what year it was.
A long time ago.
Was this before COVID started?
Yeah, for sure.
That's wild to me. Because that means
a long time.
That means I was probably averaging like 10 or 15 people on like a good day.
Dude, to me, I felt like you were like, I don't know what the numbers were, but I felt like a real operation was happening. But if I remember correctly, I think you were sort of like hopping back into it from like not having done it in a long time, or you're kind of like trying it out again.
Yeah. I couldn't even tell you.
Me neither.
It's all a blur. For real.
But
do you know what they were playing?
No.
Was I playing Animal Crossing?
I don't even think you were playing anything. I think you were just chatting.
I was just being a freak, just talking about random shit. Yeah.
You were simply chatting. So anyways, so for us to be talking about this today with that as like a little mini origin story, I think is very cute and romantic.
Oh, it's adorable. The meet
all
cute
back together
online.
Again.
I mean, that's yeah, it all brings
reunited.
Brings
so
together.
That makes me want to ask, what was your journey into streaming on Twitch like over the years and where you are today?
That's yeah, I mean, it's a long story. I'll try to keep it short, but
we
started
have nothing but time.
We're here. Yeah. I got time too. Time to enjoy. I started in 2016 when I first met like Joel and all of those improv people, and I had enough financial aid from school that was like enough to get to build a computer. So I built like my first PC, and I just was like, I just want to stream. I'm just going to do that. Because one of my friends used to show me people streaming like Pokemon games on Twitch. And I was really confused about that. I'm like, why would people care about like watching someone catch shiny Pokemon on Twitch? And then I watched it for like 3 hours and went, oh, okay, yeah, I get that now. And I was like, I could do that. So then I just did that. And then I think one of the first games I streamed was like Undertale. I played like this rhythm game called Osu. It was just like playing through some games. And then I stopped for years because I was just like busy with school. And I didn't really start doing it till the beginning of the pandemic. It was like maybe like the very, very end of 2020. And I was playing like Among Us with random people. And I just started meeting a bunch of folks. And then I started playing Dark Souls. And that's like my favorite game of all time. And through there, I met so many other people who were streaming the same game, and then just like we all just became friends, and then that just like went from there. And now I don't play Dark Souls. I play these like the exact opposite games, which is like super calming,
you play,
relaxing,
like, storybook, like very, yeah. Choose your own adventure.
Yeah, I'll be honest, it's a lot less stressful, but I definitely still love Dark Souls. Like, that's always going to be my favorite game. Dark Souls is now very calming to me, but playing like Dark Soul adjacent games can be really stressful still, but yeah, it's definitely other side of the coin for sure.
Okay, as a non Dark Souls player,
plural.
Is that like horror? Or is it like a shooter?
It's like a
magic.
Yeah, it's like an RPG game. Like, you're playing as a character and you get like weapons where you like attack enemies in sort of this magical kind of dark world. I think it's technically categorized as a horror game. I don't think it's really a horror game. There's not that much like gore involved. Just like the monsters can be kind of scary, but not all of them.
Well, good for them.
Yeah.
It's like, take what you can get.
It's like step one of being a monster.
Yeah, is to get scary. A teeny scary. Mm-hmm.
But okay. The scariest ones are the ones that don't look like a monster, you know?
In real life as well.
That's what I'm saying.
So true.
Yeah, like the sheep from Zootopia. Anyone remember that? It's like that.
That movie was like pretty sinister by the end.
I don't want to talk about the sinister...
Ness of Zootopia.
Yeah, we can move on.
That is the whole completely.
Next question.
That's a bonus episode.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you said... At the point that Jewel saw you, you maybe were averaging like 15 watchers at a time. Watchers,
probably viewers.
Watchers,
like you,
they're called.
Probably. I mean, I was still, small in the grand scheme. I mean, I try not to equate numbers to mean anything, I guess, but that was very much like the beginning of me going back into streaming, like out, I guess, quote unquote, professionally.
Realizing that you could do it professionally, does it come from like, okay, there's not a lot of viewers, but I know that with like consistency, because of like what I'm delivering, that number will go up and then it could be like a job? Or was it the other way around where you were like, oh, I'm like randomly a lot of people are watching and maybe this is viable?
Yeah, I mean, anyone who has ever streamed on Twitch will tell you that streaming 8 hours a day every day is like the worst thing you could do, because Twitch is not a easily discoverable platform. If you're, for example, just starting to stream and you're playing like a game like Valorant, they'll sort, like if you're a viewer who wants to watch someone play Valorant, they're going to give you the highest viewer number and then it's down the list.
Oh.
So if you only have two viewers, like someone has to scroll down like a bunch to see you. They're trying to fix it with like tags. So like if you're like, put like a queer tag, or like, you know, if you're from like a certain demographic, like you can search it through there, but it's still really difficult. So people will tell you to like post your clips on different platforms and stuff. And that's when I started seeing a really big growth for me, was I started posting on TikTok. And then that's kind of like where it picked up even more.
So you saw a change in your Twitch numbers after your TikTok started getting views?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Ooh,
I would definitely not be where I am in terms of numbers with streaming if I didn't post on TikTok.
And what do you remember when you started posting on TikTok?
I think it was like the middle of 2021 is when I started like really posting. I was posting like 3 times a day. It was kind of wild. And I did that for like almost a year. I was going really hard on it. Just posting like clips of me playing Dark Souls and me just like dying from bosses, or like me winning at a, you know, beating a boss or something like that. Yeah, and then I started doing YouTube. YouTube took forever to grow. TikTok is
very,
like...
It's a really slow one.
Yeah, it's a slow burn, but very worth it. Very worth still. Like, if someone's listening now, post on YouTube. Like, keep it consistent. Don't give up on that. TikTok, like, will pick up random stuff, but then it'll kind of drop you at any moment.
Well, also, you're very... Like, your YouTube videos are you obviously spend a lot of time editing them, and like
I used to.
It's a different product.
Not really. I used to spend hours editing like my playthroughs of games, and I used to pay people also to edit my videos, and then I would post just like it unedited, and I would get the same if not more numbers. So I went, why would I waste money and also my own time when it's not going to provide the same kind of thing? And some people just want to see like have something in the background while they're like editing. They don't even like the spectacle of it. So I think it's slow content, which I think we can all appreciate at times.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I like to watch trains.
That's what I'm saying. See, there you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just like, it's just a train. It's 2 hours. It's just a train going from its spot to its other spot.
It's the POV of the train.
Yeah.
I watched these two.
I also watched
I was like, weird. And then I was like, oh, it's from the train view. Yeah, I've seen these.
Where it's like going through like a snowy mountain.
Yeah.
I like those.
Yeah. Yep. A tunnel is like huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a bar that sometimes I go to that just does that.
That puts them on? Or,
yeah.
Or you're on a train.
Yeah, it's a bar on the train. No, they only play that video.
That's really good.
Or I'll say there's one bartender who plays it, and then there's a different person who plays Sleep Sounds, and I don't appreciate that at all, but...
Sleep Sounds is not a video, that's only sounds.
This is videos of snow falling with sleep noises.
I understand.
What are sleep noises?
That's the thing, is I was like, none of it snoring made me want to go to sleep,
okay.
Nor was it calming. It's like, how do I explain it? Like twinkling, they'd be like, it was just like not calming at all.
Okay, to briefly complain on this topic, I've been trying to watch like fairy ambiance videos, but they're all like AI generated art. So it gives me psychic damage, so I can't watch them. So anyways.
Fairy what?
Fairy ambiance. And like, what is this?
Like a YouTube, I'm gonna guess, like a video of like a room that would be like a fairy's room with like rain in the background and fun sounds.
Yeah, but it's usually like a little pond.
Okay.
And there's like sparkles.
Because that's where the fairies go to regenerate.
What is the sound?
The sound is just like... like gentle fantasy. Tinkle,
tinkle. This is like the new like lo-fi hip-hop beats.
Yeah, well, I wish it was, but I can't watch them because I don't support them.
Yeah,
and it's ugly.
Wait, why?
Because the AI. On the...
Sorry, I thought you meant something happened with the lo-fi people. And I was like, okay.
Lo-fi people got canceled.
Why? What did they say? What did they say?
Okay, we're deeply off topic. Yeah. I need to know.
We're getting back.
What do you want to know?
What I need to know before we jump into our discussion of you as a parasocial object is how did you transition, or like what was the thought process of you transitioning from like I'm gonna Twitch for fun to I'm streaming to make my income?
Well, I kind of went full circle on that, where I started for fun and then I started realizing that it could be like a viable source of income. And so I was doing the like, I did a 24-hour like stream that's like a subathon thing, and did other like sub incentives, and I didn't like the feeling of that. It felt weird to me to like ask people for money in that regard, which I think that anyone is entitled to do that. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to do. I just think for me personally, I didn't like the feeling of doing that. It felt almost like I was like relying on individual people to like give me money versus like ad money feels a lot less like bad, because it's just like people watch it and then I get a few cents from doing that. You know what I mean?
So, because I don't use Twitch at all, but Twitch is like subs are paid and they don't use ad revenue at all.
They do have ad revenue. It's not that great. There was a time where it was good and then it was bad. So you have to have like a lot of viewers on Twitch to be making some like pretty good ad money. If you're like, let's say like not doing subs at all. So I just started doing way more stuff on YouTube and TikTok and other stuff that felt less weird to me. And now I only stream for fun. I don't stream for like money, which feels really nice. Like it's kind of going back to my roots.
Yeah, you know? Like I actually circled back around to not having to do this.
Yeah, which is honestly really nice, because then it, like, I used to just get really stressed having to stream. So I was like, okay, I have to like devote 4 hours. And then at sometimes you wouldn't even get money from it, because sometimes maybe people wouldn't sub for whatever reasons, you know, outside of your control. So I just didn't want to have to rely on a guest, because it's like I could spend an hour like filming something on my own and editing that, posting that on YouTube, and that would make way more money than me streaming 8 hours and maybe getting a few subs by just randomly that day. Because I had some days where I'd stream for like 2 hours and get a bunch of subs, and then I'd stream for 4 hours and I would get maybe like four. So it's just really like, it's like you're giving it up to chance in a way, and I don't want to, you know.
Is it affected by like what other people streaming? If there are other people streaming at the same time that they're all watching, like, are you competing at all for like eyes with other
people? I think other people think that. I don't think that's necessarily true, because when you have like friends who are streamers and you're streaming at the same time, like you can even go into their chats and like mess with them, or like if you know someone else is watching someone else, like you can say, oh, go into their chat and say this weird thing or something.
People
like that.
Hop around.
Yeah, like, people definitely don't stay in like one stream the whole time, unless they only have like their one streamer that they only watch, which is like a good portion of people, but not all of them. I don't know the numbers on that. But I think a lot of people, especially newer streamers, get really in their heads about that. They're like, I can't stream at the same time as like this other person because mm-hmm. then people won't come hang out at my stream. And I think that's a really like unfortunate and toxic mindset to be in. It's like, just stream whenever you want. And like I almost have more fun when my friend is also streaming because then I'll watch their stream on my stream and I'll just be in their chat hanging out. And it's just like, and like, are you streaming right now? I'm like, yeah. And vice versa. Like, I have friends who'll do that to me too. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just fun. I think you can't view it as competition. I think that's when it becomes really unhealthy for you. Because I've had some people who were like that, and it was just like really, wasn't good for the mind. Wasn't good.
I think it's fascinating that you like, did you make the conscious choice of like, I'm not going to try to be making money on Twitch. I'm going to make my money on these other platforms.
I think it was, I don't think I ever said that in my head, but I think I was doing actions that meant that, mm-hmm. I think. Because I think there were times where I took breaks from Twitch because I just was like, I'm really burnt out from just hearing myself talk, honestly. It's like, I can only just sort of handle myself totally. For that long. Like, I don't even talk to myself when I'm by myself, which was literally a question on our list.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just because, I thought about it and I was like, it seems like it would take so much practice to get into the habit of like vocalizing everything you're thinking while you're doing it. If I was streaming, it'd just be like me silently clicking buttons. It would be useless.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if when you're alone, you do the same thing, but it sounds like you shut down because you're like, I'm actually all done.
Yeah, I'm exhausted from talking that much. Yeah.
Jewel was like, I would just stop talking.
Yeah. I remember that's why I mainly stopped streaming too, because it was just so tiring. I would like stream 4 hours and then I'd end my stream and be like, all right, see y'all later. I'd turn it off. Turn off my camera, walk into my bed, and just lay down. And I would just go on my phone and just, like, take a nap for however long. Or just go to bed, depending what time I was streaming at. Because it's exhausting. I just am also not a very, I'm a sprints person. You know, like, even after this podcast, I'm going to not be talking.
Right.
You know, because I'm like, this is a lot of talking.
I'll drive home silently in my car.
Yeah. And, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. I wish I've been trying to talk more to myself, but that's more of, like, a practicing, like, a clown thing. Unrelated to streaming. Yeah.
Totally different skill set.
That's yes.
Amazing. We're tapping 100%. Into a different
It's like nonsense thoughts. Like, it's just like, whoa, wow. Well, William. Or I don't know.
Damn, that was really good clown. That was really good clowning.
I didn't know we were going to get a
use that.
Fucking clown show use tonight.
Next question.
Okay. Next question. This is the big one. So, podcast is about parasocial relationships.
Right.
So here's the definition of a parasocial relationship. It's a one-sided relationship where we feel invested in someone who does not know us at all. We develop illusions of intimacy, friendship, and identification with this media persona. Okay. So had you heard of this phenomenon before I asked you to do this podcast?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is like internet lingo 101, I think, especially if you're like any kind of content creator on any platform, like
totally.
It's just like a joke word at this point, I think.
Yes. 100%. Yeah.
And we want the joke word to become our trademark.
We bought the joke word.
Okay. So, okay, great. So this is like something that's already in your brain. You've probably been thinking about for years. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
I don't know. I sometimes don't know what I'm thinking. Sometimes. I'm sure it's there. It's like, I don't have an internal dialogue, so it's a lot of, like, images
I'm
and feelings.
I'm fascinated by this topic.
So, I imagine those feelings, I guess, if that makes sense.
You're like the, like, images, colors, concepts, but not the words.
Yeah.
I'm like, the exact opposite.
Really?
All words.
Oh, no images.
I never speak out loud to myself. It's all up here, and it won't end.
Interesting.
But if someone's like, think of an apple, I'm like, the concept of an apple, and then someone's like, no, picture it, and then I'm like, okay, I can.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have this?
I don't know what mine is, and the fact that you guys can both articulate yours is scary.
Then
to
maybe
me.
You're in the middle. And it's not a beautiful spectrum.
We'll figure you out.
Yeah.
We'll figure you out.
Whoa.
But it's just like, you have like a default unless you're asked to like...
Mm-hmm.
You know, say this sentence in your head would make everyone say it in their head. But
definitely, I think I have more words happening than you do.
Maybe.
Whoa.
Yeah, like I have to think about saying words in my head. Like I'm thinking, like, the man is tall. Like, that's weird to say in my head. I have to really, like, pause.
That's so funny.
Fascinating. Yeah. Okay, once again,
I love humans. And we just like slowly are figuring out we're all completely different.
Isn't that fun?
It's so scary.
It rocks.
All right. Don't be scared.
So circling back to parasocial relationships, do you remember having any as a child?
It was so funny. I was trying to think about this and I was like, no. I like didn't care about like celebrities or even like anime characters or anything like that. The only thing I could ever come close to is two instances. One, I really loved the All American Rejects. I liked just their music.
I was obsessed.
My best friend, Tiffany, she really liked the main guy, Tyson Ritter, who's also the bassist.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And she was like, oh, I'm so obsessed with him. He's so cool. And this was like in fifth or sixth grade. And I was like, man, I guess I have to be into one of them. So the guitarist, I forget what his name was, like, I don't even know his name because I like just pretended to be really into him. I was like, oh yeah, that's the guy I'm into. Yeah, I'm really obsessed with this guy too. So I faked having a parasocial relationship
kind of just to get closer to your friend,
Yeah, I just I'm sort of like, if you're not physically here in front of me, it's like, why am I thinking about?
Totally.
Like, you know, if there's not even like a chance of that becoming a real friendship, it was almost just like, whoa. I didn't have a parasocial relationship with anyone. But then this was like 3 years ago and I was sitting at my computer and I was watching Marriage Story with Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson. And I'm ashamed. And I went, wow, Adam Driver's so hot. And then I proceeded to watch like every interview he has on YouTube.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Almost every movie he's been in. I haven't seen Girls. I think he was in that. I have not seen that.
Yeah. That's required Adam Driver reading. I'll say.
Yeah, I know. Because really? Isn't he really toxic in that?
No, it's just like he is so bizarre. Don't you think?
Really? I never watched it.
You
I
never
watched two
it?
Episodes of Girls and
he
I logged
is
off.
So weird in Girls. Mm-hmm. The whole time he's like shirtless, woodworking.
Awesome.
And like the words, his dialogue seems like it was not written by anyone but him just talking. He's a weird man in
it's
the
his
show.
It's a breakout role, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Weird man.
But yeah. I was really obsessed with him. And I never had a celebrity crush as a kid. Like, none of those things. And, like, it was until I was 27 that I had my first celebrity crush. And then it just kind of went away.
Dang, late bloomer.
Wow. Yeah,
truly, actually, in every sense of the word.
I'm so glad it finally happened. Thank you for telling
us. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
It's a weird one.
Okay, so, wow, this, I think it's so crazy that you never had a parasocial relationship as a kid and then you became a Twitch streamer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is a big reason why we wanted to talk to you is because Twitch and live streaming is, like, such an elevation of people having a relationship with you who don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the crux of what parasocial relationships are. And so do you feel like your viewers when you stream or even, you know, your commenters on Twitch, I mean, on TikTok and on YouTube, do you feel like people have a parasocial relationship to you?
I think some probably do, not to my knowledge, just because it's also something I don't really think about much. But I'm pretty strict with stuff like that. In my chat, like if someone comes in and they say like, oh, Kip, like, I love you, blah, 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 you're so cool. I delete the message because I'm like, don't say you love me. I don't know you. You don't know me. Like, love,
totally.
That's a very big word. And I know people have different like levels of what that means to them. But it's almost like I like to set that as an example of like, so other people know like, hey, I'm not cool with that. So having moderators too and just being really strict on your own boundaries as a streamer. I think is really important because there are some streamers that are super parasocial with their people in chat, like the opposite. Mm-hmm. There are people who like are very, who can be like manipulative and like be obsessive towards people in their chat who they don't even know, but they just like message them on Discord or something. And then the person will respond because like, oh, they're a big streamer or something. Like I'll respond to that. And they can be really, that can be really bad power dynamic on top of it being parasocial. So as time has gone on, I think I've learned to be very, like, I try to be vulnerable in sharing stuff that's not too personal, I've gone too personal once, and I went, oh, I wish I didn't share that on stream. But as time has gone on, you know, I'll be like, you know, if you're struggling with something, or, you know, anxiety is real, and like maybe some examples of stuff I've went through. But I usually try to be very vague about it, because I don't want people to think that they can share that with me, because I might not be capable of like giving sound advice to someone, because yeah. I'm not a professional. Whatever that was.
And because it's in One Direction. Like they know a lot about you, mm-hmm. not maybe based on what you've told them, but just by watching you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, I'm giving advice to like a nameless, faceless person. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea what the situation is.
Yeah. Like I could give advice to my friends because I know them in person and understand the whole circumstance, like all of the situations, things that are involved around it. But I just don't feel, not even necessarily qualified, but it just doesn't, it feels inappropriate for me to get involved in any kind of conversations that could lead to like knowing really personal stuff about someone. So I try my best to set an example of like, this is what I think is appropriate to share as a streamer. 'Cause it can get really unhealthy on both sides, on the streamer and chat level.
Even when I was briefly streaming and, you know, we had like two or three people who were coming back every week, like, it's so tempting to really interact with them directly and to call back and remember things that you know about them, just because you're like, this is my, basically, this is my fan. You know, this is my viewer. This is a person who's giving me the attention that I'm trying to get while I'm streaming. So I feel like negotiating these boundaries you're talking about is like, there's so much boundaries to negotiate.
Yeah. And it's almost like you don't even say some of them. It's almost like implied, or people have to guess. Mm. And that can be, that's when you have to be gentle sometimes with some people. It's like easy to just ban someone if they're just plainly being really inappropriate or being like way too over the line. But if I can tell that someone is trying to be genuine and they are being parasocial, I'll usually have like one of my mods message them and say like, hey, like this isn't cool for XYZ reasons. Try not to do that again for XYZ reasons. And usually people are pretty good about it, I would say. Maybe like literally once or twice that's ever happened where like that person didn't understand or something and they just kept pushing that.
Right. What are some of the things that you, like some of the boundaries you've set that you just don't want either in comments or like on other platforms or messages or
I've banned the phrase I love you.
Yeah.
That's great. Just like a phrase that you just can't say in my chat. But then it's like tough because I've had it set so like I love you with like a you, the phrase is banned. So sometimes people will say like I love umbrellas and their message automatically gets deleted, and then they're like, why was my message deleted? I was like, I'm sorry, it's because you got that's yeah, I should probably fix that.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So that's like literally actually yeah, that's kind of the only like automated kind of bot thing I have. But other than that, I think I feel really lucky that I have fostered a community of people who are just really cool and really nice and super funny from my perspective, that they set a really good example of when new people come in, they see how people mm-hmm. are chatting. Like something that makes me feel weird, which is bizarre because it's, I guess, my stream, is when someone comes into chat and they're only talking to me. Like they'll at me and say like, just be having one conversation just with me. And it's like, look at all these other people here though. Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to also build a community of everyone who wants to like hang out and just be like appropriate acquaintance friends, people in this space. And so it feels weird. It's like, that's kind of feels sort of parasocial in a way, is like, just only look at me mm-hmm. versus like, no, but there's other people who are probably, if they're watching me, also like have the same kind of energy as me as well. And so let's all have fun together.
And right? That's like the fun, I feel like, of watching streaming. The half the fun is being in the chat with other people who are all like discussing the same thing.
Sometimes it's all the fun.
Yes.
Yeah, because sometimes you're like, nothing's happening.
That's like
in
classic.
This moment.
That's classic meme of like, the chat's funnier than the streamer. 1,000%. Like, that's so true in most instances, I would say.
And it's also for me, like, I'm so obsessed with like the old internet and like old like anonymous chat rooms mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So Twitch chat rooms are like
the closest thing I've felt in this modern age to anything like that back then. Like coming into a chat room like yours and like learning what the culture is. And yeah, it's like when people are just interacting with you, it's like, that's actually not what this like is about. This is actually... This is actually for Jewel to experience the old internet feelings that she likes in your chat. So that's really interesting. And I think I already know the answer to this, but one thing that I'm always fascinated to ask people is, do you intentionally foster room for people to feel parasocially connected to you in your content or in your brand? Like, do you think about that as like, oh, people will feel more connected to me if I do this? But it sounds like it's more the opposite, where you're... You just want people to be connected to you based on the environment you create, and you're not trying to have it be like a deeper connection. But what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if there's some sort of subconscious thing I do to do that, but I don't feel like I ever intentionally try to do that. I mean, I do try to foster like a kind and like aware space or people who are like willing to hear, you know, more serious conversations about like politics or like human rights stuff. And so I will usually throw stuff in there like that so that I can foster an audience of people who are willing to have those kinds of conversations, or at least like not even necessarily agree with me, but are open to those kinds of things. At least it's like, okay, cool. People who watch my stream, like, don't hate queer people. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's, yeah, you know, the least I can ask for, I guess. Stuff similar to that. But I wouldn't even know an example of like how to make, like, what would be an example of that? Like saying something like something to be parasocial.
I don't see this as much in streaming, but like, I guess an example would be like, people who do like camming, like the whole thing is based on like the audience feeling like they actually have some sort of like romantic or sexual relationship with this person. But I agree, that would be a really weird thing to do while you're playing like Dark Souls.
Yeah, doing that on like a Twitch platform is interesting because some people do that.
Yeah, because there are those types of streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, another thing, a less direct version of that is like, when I started making TikToks for like my web series that I was on, that's like a scripted thing, we started making TikToks to advertise it. And like a lot of the TikToks were just like, we're all friends who like actually do play D&D together. And that's like in real life. That's not just our characters. And a lot of the comments were like, oh man, like I wish I had a group to play D&D with, or I wish I could play D&D with you guys. So I did, when I saw those comments, I was like, oh, this is, they are relating to us on a parasocial level, even though they don't really like know us. They are connecting to like, I wish I could play with those people, or I wish like I could foster relationships like that. So I remember like, that's an example of like, I did think like, oh, this is a brand pillar of like people seeing this as something they can relate to parasocially. So yeah, that's just another example of like how you would like actually be like, I am implementing parasociality.
You know, I think actually maybe there is something in terms of, because when I was very first streaming, I had like one or two people who would come to my stream, and their username was Easy Online Banking, and I immediately was just like, the way they were typing, I was like, oh, this person's so funny. Like they just like, for some reason I was like, this person's special. And I'm like, I don't want people to think that I will just be friends and like, you know, immediately like clash onto them. So I didn't want to be weird, but I was just like, one day randomly they were in my chat and I was like, hey, like, do you do comedy by chance? And then they said like, yeah, I did improv in Chicago. And I was like, oh shit, like we definitely have mutuals. Like, I'm sorry to be weird. I'm the one who started the parasocial relationship. I was like, can I message you and like see if we know anyone? And then we had mutuals and I was like, oh my God. And then we started hanging out on Discord and now he's one of my best friends.
Oh my God.
Do you know Dylan?
No.
He like, well, does maybe. He's like on my stream sometimes. We do comedy stuff together.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, we do clown stuff together and everything. Wow. Like, he is my best friend. And so it's like, but then, so then that's like setting an example. It's like someone who's watching my stream could see like, oh, like Dylan was someone who was was a random chatter who came into my stream and now best friends with Kip. Like, that could be me. Like, that's not impossible. Because I have made friends that way too. Mainly with other people who also stream, but I have made friends with a couple people who are like just chatters and they don't stream. So it's like showing that that's a possibility kind of opens up the possibility for other people to think like, oh, that could also happen. But
totally.
And it's almost like, and I don't mean to be parasocial right now, but there probably are. There probably are people who watch my stream that I'm sure we would get along great and be good friends. There's only just so much time and like in the world to be friends with, you know, there's friends that I want to hang out with in person I don't have time to have to hang out with, so.
And so much risk I think goes into there like, is really talking to people online who are like, we would be great friends. You're like, would we? Scary.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
That's juicy.
This is not an invitation for anyone who watches my stream now to say, you know,
but perhaps something for them to reflect on within themselves.
That's true.
Just for a scholarly exercise, thank perhaps.
And thank you.
Do you find that people have like a different reaction to you on different platforms? In my experience, like YouTube comments skew so much more negative than TikTok ones.
Yes.
What's that like in the picture also with Twitch? Like, do people react to you differently?
Yes. I would say... Well, YouTube, my comments on TikTok and YouTube are the same. It's always, what game is this? They're always asking, what game is this? Does anyone know what the name of this game is? Every comment, I get like hundreds of comments every day that say, what is this game? And I go,
you're like,
at the beginning, I would tell people, I don't know, because I'm like, I can't, just look at the tag. I literally put the title of the game as like the first hashtag. And people just like can't figure out how to like, you know, figure that out. And usually, you know, just go to my YouTube channel, you'll see I have the whole long VOD of me playing that whole game with the title in it. That takes up 50% of my comments.
Wow.
And that's not a joke. Usually it's more. So usually it's like people, I think, who watch my stuff on YouTube are like more interested in just the puzzle itself and like me commentating on it, perhaps. And then Twitch is, I think, more about me as a person.
Totally.
I would say... Yeah, Twitch is almost like a Patreon type of thing. It's like, if you want to know more, come hang out here and then you can get the like exclusive, like, ask me whatever you want, because anyone can come into chat and ask me anything they want for the most part. So,
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. I can't believe how many people don't just like go find the answer.
Well, it's so funny because even like my friends will just be like, they'll just text me and be like, what game is this? And I'm like, it's just a joke now.
Sorry, it's a pillar of social human interaction is that we don't know what the information is and we need to ask.
Every time. And it's really funny because some people will go in through all the comments and respond. Like there'll be like two or three people who go through every comment on the video and respond to each person. And they'll be like, oh, it's this. This is the name of the game. This is the name of the game. This is the name of the game. I'm like, you're a hero.
Shouts
that's
out
so
to those
sweet.
People.
I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
Those but people are cool that you do doing it. The Lord's work.
Truly. Yeah. It's sweet.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Sorry, I'm really excited because
and I have no idea what you're going to say.
I'm really excited to ask this question. Does your online presence affect your dating life?
Yes, because when I first moved to LA and I was like still doing streaming, so streaming was still pretty prevalent and my TikTok was like doing really well at the time. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to go out there and see what happens. And I went on a date and the person was like, yeah, I went on a date because I like saw your TikToks and I wanted to go on a date with you. And I was like, oh no, I can't do this. So I immediately deleted all of my dating apps, like all the accounts, everything. Cause I was just like, I don't want people to know where I live too. Cause it like shows you where you are and like how many miles you are. So
that's right. How close you are to them.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I can't ever do this again. So I deleted everything and I haven't used it since. Cause I'm like, I just don't even want to risk it. I don't know. Cause I'm sure. And also everyone talks about how bad they are. So I'm like, whatever. I'd rather just like meet someone just like through the comedy scene or something, which I know is also like, that's also its own bad thing, whatever people's perception of that is. But I just leave it up to, just the fates, me just running into someone. And then I'm usually pretty private about it. Cause I don't want anyone to like if I was dating someone, I wouldn't want them to deal with someone being parasocial with me and then them going to that person's account and being like, you're dating the person I like. And
because
I actually used to date someone who was a really big Twitter person because he was a security dev for Apex, Legends, if you know that video game.
Yeah.
And he gets just like death threats all the time.
Jeez.
Just constantly. And he's really public about the stuff, so I feel comfortable sharing this. But he would get like messages from people about me because he was like vaguely public about us when we were dating. And so he would get messages saying like, oh, I hope that your partner dies and like all this other stuff. And I would get messages on like my TikTok stuff or even my Twitter stuff being like, oh, like your boyfriend's a piece of shit, blah, blah, and ban me from Apex. It was like really bizarre. And I never took it personally or anything. I know he would feel bad about it, but I'm like, I don't give a shit about these like random people, you know?
They bring it to you.
Yeah, and I'm like, what do you think I'm going to do about it? I don't know. You know what I mean? So
unban them.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, you know what? Connor, can you actually unban this person?
Yeah, they seem really reasonable.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah, like the dinner table or something. Yeah, it's bizarre. So after that, I think I was like, okay, I'm going to be very private about any kind of dating stuff just for like, because that I don't ever get messages directly just because of me, but I don't want that to ever pass on to someone else. Or at least I'll try my best not to have that happen.
Totally.
And you're also just very, I feel like you have a very like successfully locked down private presence in general. Like you don't use like your real name online, like. Like, I feel like you have done what none of us have been able to do, which is, like, actually have a brand that is a little separate from who you are in real life. And, like, you know, I can't necessarily just, like, Google you and, like, find out things you might not want me to know. But you can Google either.
Yeah.
Well,
find
you know, whatever you want. I was taught very early on, like, even when I was 10, like, don't put your real name on the internet, do all the stuff. So as soon as I started streaming, like, even in 2016, I did a full scrub of all of my internet stuff. Like, I didn't use my real name. I deleted, like, my Facebook, all this stuff, just any ties so that
thorough.
Like it's literally impossible, you know, I don't want to tell someone like, go ahead and try, you know, they'd have to dox, you know, like do some hacking shit. But like I worked really hard, like very early on to make sure like nothing was tied in terms of like emails or anything like that.
That's
you did
great.
A, like, good job.
Thank you.
You did a really good job. This is something I've always admired. Like,
thank you.
I've always been like, that's so awesome.
Yeah, so if you're thinking of streaming or doing online stuff, you know, it's never too early to do anything like that.
Yeah.
But it's also, that also can be really difficult because I'm doing a lot more like IRL comedy stuff. And going by, like, Hey Kip, I feel like is weird because it's not, like, usually when people do shows, it's like, oh, like, Alex Martin, like, this is, like, who's the comedian who's on? And so it's like, oh, if I ever do a show, like, do I put my real name? Do I have to come up with another fake stage
name?
That's annoying. I don't know. I've been thinking about that. For now, I've just been using my username, but it's interesting.
Would you ever
just
go by just Kip?
Yeah. Kip.
No.
Because
it's weird because I don't like
one.
It. That's such a, like, that is my online thing.
Yeah.
Like, whenever
yeah.
I meet people, like, it's so funny because people in the comedy space who only know me through that will still call me Kip sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you can call me my real
name,
please.
That's what I thought your name was.
Like, I don't like people calling me that because it feels less personal. Because I make it such a, like, make sure I don't be parasocial with people type of thing. It's like, I want my real life to be as parasocial as possible. So, yeah.
Well, real life is not parasocial because we do know you.
Exactly. Hi.
You are the perfect subject. Sorry.
This is really
this is the part of the podcast where I get excited.
Okay,
go get excited. Okay. Merch, you have cool merch. How did you decide to have merch? And what?
What's the deal? I mean, I just do it because, you know, people were like, do merch? And I went, okay. Like, people asked for it. So then I made merch. And it took me a bit to, like, find a font I liked and doing this, like, kind of space sort of theme. That's been my brand, I think, for a while, but I'm thinking about changing it. But I've been wanting to do more like weird phrases on like hats or something like that. But I just have like my name, like Hey Kip, on like hoodies and stuff in this like weird scribbled kind of font. Hats.
And it looks
totes.
Really cute. It's cute.
Mars. Yeah.
Really
beanies.
Cute.
Really good.
But I feel very like I've been thinking about switching because I'm like, man, all this probably done in a sweatshop, and it's not unionized and all this stuff, so I need to figure that out. I haven't, like, touched my merch shop in a long time, so I haven't thought about it in a long time.
Sorry
so
to bring
you.
It up.
No, totally. It's good to remind me of it, because I'm like, how can I do this more ethically? So get back to, we'll get back on that.
Yeah, well, when you come back on the pod another time, we'll you'll have a new name for your comedy stuff, and you'll have probably new merch.
Awesome.
Great.
Okay, we'll do it. This next section.
Rapid fire invasive questions.
You might need your phone for this.
Okay.
Because this is a, this is a data collection part of
this
the podcast.
This is really, this is ultimately... Okay. Kind of an Excel spreadsheet.
And like, so we're going to ask you like things like how many unread DMs you have. Like you can choose which platform you want to share about.
I'll pick whichever one feels the best.
Yeah, follow your heart.
Who are you right now?
Okay. Yeah, so the first question is how many unread DMs do you have?
Well, that would be on Instagram and I couldn't, I don't ever check it because it's like requests.
Are DMs closed on the other platforms for you? Like,
yes.
Are you,
on TikTok they're closed on, I don't even know, can people message you on YouTube? I don't even know if people can. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
And Discord, I don't either. It's only people who are like my friends.
Great.
So I'll get like friend requests from people and I'm like, who are you? And I just reject it.
Yeah.
Oh God. I couldn't, I don't even know how many this is.
They won't tell you?
No. I mean, it's just all of this. If you're looking, it's just like all of this. And then it stops. So like after like 3 weeks, it won't even show you the other ones. It like
sometimes
expires.
Delete. Yeah.
So I couldn't even tell you. It's in the, probably the thousands. I don't know.
That sounds awesome. Miserable.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Because I've checked them once and I went, oh, this is really bad to do. And then I never went back to my request.
Yeah,
messages.
They're all insane. Yeah. They're either like, hello. And you're like, of course not. Of course not. Yeah. We're not doing this. Or it's like a link. And I'm like, I'm not getting fished tonight.
Or
there's no way.
This is actually where all the parasocial stuff is. Because that's where people will be like, I'm in love with you. Like, please respond to me. Like, I think I like you, which is this is bizarre. It's hey,
like,
I think
I'm in
like
Norway.
You.
I love you.
I think I'm in love with you. Yeah, it's a lot of that, and then like scam stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Man, what if you were like, I think I'm in love with
you too. I think I'm
in love
too, buddy.
I think I like you too.
That would be fun.
Maybe they'd be like, oh, this is actually weird. And
I
don't
think this is going to happen.
You don't know me at all.
Yeah, I wonder what all those people would be like if you followed up on that. I think that's when you then develop stalkers. That's really when it's like, okay, I'm going to.
You never know.
But that also just can happen regardless, even if you don't interact.
True. Next question.
How many unread text messages do you have?
Zero.
Same.
I keep it clean. Emails, zero.
Same.
Everything is zero.
Inbox, zero.
Yeah.
Inbox, zero.
Incredible.
It gives me so much anxiety to have something I haven't read. It's like, that's all I can think about. Just knowing I have like an unread email. I'm like, oh, I need to check.
Do you have your read receipts on?
No. That's an insane person thing to do. That is like, that's unhinged. Mm-hmm. I don't want someone to see when I read something because sometimes I need a second. And even if it's not a thing that I like need to have be like a perfect response, but it's just like I'm taking a shit or something. Like I need like a moment.
Like give me a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. Charlie has his read receipts on.
I thought we all were doing it.
No. I can see when other people do. Like my friend Dylan has it on and I always see like red. I'm like, that's wild.
I think Jewel was day one was like weird choice.
We need to talk about this. We need to talk about this.
And you're deciding to keep it?
Well, usually it's just if someone's like, it's for when someone sends you a text that's like, I'm 10 minutes away and I'm also driving. And then I don't want to be like, me too. I just want them to know that I know.
That's actually
interesting. That's what it's for.
Yeah. That one instance.
But the effect it has is actually that people close to me go, why didn't you respond for 3 minutes after you read that?
Yeah.
And it's like, because I stopped looking at my phone.
Yeah.
And then I remembered.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I like that your read receipts are on. I like when someone else's read receipts
yes,
are on.
Yes,
but
yes.
I'm not turning it
back. 1,000%, you're correct.
No
great,
way.
Great. Yeah.
No way.
I agree.
Okay. Do you read all of your comments across platforms?
No.
Wow. You are a marvel.
Yeah.
You're
so
well,
healthy.
I did this wild thing because I learned early on, don't read comments. What I did was on TikTok and YouTube, you can add blocked words so that it gets held for review and it goes to a special little section. That's basically like the request on Instagram. So you have to go in and check those. I don't check those because that's even more deranged to
do.
But
now
I
you're
add,
like a bag of the ones I don't want.
Yeah, but like things like love or anything that's like vaguely inappropriate or even negative words, I'll put as blocked things. So like people don't say like, this is bad, I hate this video. So like, hate bad, that's all blocked yeah. on all my comments. So it's only positive.
That's
stuff,
great.
Or at least neutral. Or some stuff gets in and I couldn't tell you what that is because I don't really check them out often. Yeah. Love but I'll it. Respond to comments like every so often, depending how I'm feeling.
Yeah. If you see one that catches your eye, yeah. it needs
I'm like, this
addressing.
Is nice. Or yeah. sometimes like I'll just, someone will say something random and I'll just reply, hello, how are you?
Yeah.
I just say, I don't
when
know
when someone's
why.
Like, wow, I'm so early. I'm always like, hi.
Yeah, I'm always like, hey, what's up?
This is what you wanted, yeah, I think.
And they're always like, oh my them. God, hi, Kim, thanks for responding to my message. And you're like, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, buddy.
You're feeding the parasocial.
Yeah, I guess that is what
I
that
love
is.
It.
Yes, it is.
Okay, do you search for yourself?
No. I will search myself maybe once every 6 months just to like make sure nothing weird's happening.
On like Reddit or just Google? Like what is
just
the,
Google. I yeah. probably should check Reddit. Oh no.
I've checked Reddit and it's all really nice. It's Aww. Not even like nice things about me. It's just like lists of people who are trans online.
Hell yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, that was really right. positive.
That's nice. Good job collecting.
So yeah, you just go in and see like, has anyone published a hate piece or a
yeah, not even that, or making sure people aren't like stealing my content or yes. like doing something weird with it, which like I think I'm like okay with like people reposting or whatever. I don't, you know, that's
does
like,
that happen much?
Not very rarely.
Okay.
But I just don't really search myself.
Yeah, healthy.
But it's like, why would I? Unless it's like for safety reasons. Like that's the only reason why I would do it is for safety reasons. What's like another?
Maybe because you have a massive ego and you want to know if people are talking about you.
Is that what you think is going on with
no,
me?
No, I'm talking to myself. That's why I'm not like, making eye contact.
Like
you.
On what though? Like you, like people,
I don't
like.
Care.
So like making a Reddit thread talking about
me,
you or
it's like
something?
Anxiety. For yeah, you, like, you're like, I hope there's talking about me.
That's because I don't have an audience. You guys both have audiences, so I'm
I
like,
I would argue that you do have an audience, but okay.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah, completely.
So maybe one day I won't care. But right now I'm like, that's like a crazy thing to me. If someone were to say something about me, okay.
What's
your
say it at the same time? Go.
What's your blocking philosophy?
I just—it's kind of almost like Russian roulette. It's just sort of like, I don't like that.
Yeah,
I'll block it. If someone's just, yeah, I'm just like, I don't think I like this. And if it's like, if I even for a second kind of can't tell like what they're saying in a way of yeah, like, yeah, is yeah. this mean or not?
Yes,
I'll block it.
That's,
I have
that's
struggled
a move.
With that.
That's
yeah.
A move.
But it's just sometimes I'm like, I can't read the tone. Mm-hmm. Are you saying something nice to me or are you saying something really mean? Mm-hmm. I actually can't tell.
Block.
It could go either way.
Because it's like one
don't
person.
Spend the energy trying to figure
yes,
it out.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. I,
totally.
Even more so on Twitch with streaming. Like if someone comes in and they say something like, can I ask you a question?
No.
That's the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest thing. Because they'll usually ask something really offensive or this very rarely... Will it be a nice one? And it happens sometimes. And every time someone comes in and they say that, I'm like, all right, let's see what this question is. Is it going to be offensive or is it going to be nice? And then I wait. And then usually they never say anything. Or they'll say something nice. And I go, okay, I'm sorry for being aggressive. I will apologize. But usually someone comes in and they're just like being weird or just like they just don't fit the energy. I'll block them.
Yeah, because it's just never...
It's not...
Whoever is like, hey, can I ask you a question? And then they ask something completely normal.
It's weird. It's almost, it's like a joke around Twitch circles that like, can I ask you a question as a first message is just really awkward. It's very odd.
Why totally. Aren't other, why aren't viewers, they should know that, I mean, most of them do. They know that's a rule. Like,
I mean, you would be surprised they don't. People just don't know. A lot of, Twitch is like a very small platform in comparison to like YouTube and all this other stuff. So people don't know a lot of these like etiquette rules.
That's
wow. So,
very true.
Yeah. I try to give people benefit of the doubt, but on a bad day, like I will ban anyone.
Yeah.
It just really depends on my mood. If I'm feeling like happy and good, like I'll be pretty generous with it. But if like
it.
I've had like one or two instances where someone comes in and I've been like, do I ban them? And then I'll like message my mods after the stream. Like, did y'all also feel weird? And they're like, yes. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to ban them.
Yeah.
And then I'll ban them after the stream. Cause it's just like not worth it. Because sometimes people just can't. It's yeah. Vibes and just like breaking rules. Like, I think that's fair. It's your stream. You can literally do whatever you want.
Totally.
Besides like, don't be offensive.
And it's one person. So it's like, you know.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I love your liberal blocking.
Because then it also sets an example for other people that it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that I probably shouldn't do stuff like that either, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if they never have, it's like, I think it's good to set an example of like, don't mess around here.
Yeah.
You can mess around, but don't mess around, you know?
I think that's your brand.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Don't mess around. Final rapid question. What is the demographic analytics of your viewers, to your knowledge?
On Twitch, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, do they even collect that data on Twitch?
They must, but they don't tell you.
I think they do, but I never check that on Twitch. On TikTok, I'm actually really excited because it used to be... Because TikTok with, like, at least, like, with their gender stuff is very limited, but it was very male-dominated. It was, like, 80% men, even less than 10% women. I was like, man, I don't like that for some reason.
Yeah, I hate anything.
But ever since I started doing puzzle games, it's, like, 60-40. It's, like, fully changed. So I have, like, way more, like, women audiences. And I was ecstatic about it. I was like, I think it's even more now. It's, like, 70-30. And I'm like, this is what I want.
Dude, congratulations.
Yeah, because women are great, you know. They're rocking.
Women love puzzles.
And I'll keep doing puzzles for you.
Tell me a good story.
Stories. I do think the story ones are really good.
Yeah. So I'm really happy about that. That's made me feel really awesome.
What about age?
I don't know. I think it's mainly between like 18 to like 29.
Okay. Awesome. That does feel like who's online.
Yeah. Like it's like the 18 to 24 and then 25 to like 30 age range I think is like the breakdown they'll give you. And those for me, I think are like pretty much the same.
Nice.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the data. Is there any other data you'd like to share that we didn't rapid fire ask you?
I mean, I will always get really excited when I get comments from people who are like, oh, I'm also like non-binary or like genderqueer or something. And that always feels really nice, especially when I go on Twitch, because you can have there's like an extension you can have on your browser that gives you your pronouns next to your username when you're in chat. So you can see other people's pronouns. And usually when people come in and they're new and they have like they, them next to their name or like she, they or something like that, I'm always like, let's go. I see you, and that's really nice. Thank you. So that always feels really good. So I have to imagine I have like larger than other like cis people's streams, like probably more genderqueer people.
Yeah. And do you ever add tags that would help people find you? Yeah. So like that's got to be a huge part of it. Is they're just like excited to be watching you too.
Yeah. Ugh.
Okay, we talked about this a little bit because you fell in love with Adam Driver.
Right.
But
not anymore. Not anymore.
Everybody. But are there any other parasocial relationships that you have now as an adult at all?
You are mystical. No.
Anybody you're just like a fan of that you think about?
You never thought about anybody's life?
No.
You are the perfect second guest. Can I just say?
Like, I don't think so. I just like celebrity culture and all that stuff like never appealed to me. So like I just feel
a deep hatred for it, but I still kind of have at least a little of it inside of me.
I can't even think of like
it's not real celebrities.
They're even like influencers or anything. Like
yeah.
This is incredible.
Maybe for other streamers, like I will consume people's content on TikTok and I go like, oh, this is important content. I'm happy to be consuming it. And then I don't think about them during the day.
Wow.
I can't think of a single person that I like, I'm like, oh, I wonder what they're doing right now. Or something like.
I definitely don't have that, which.
Which I feel like.
No, actually, that's not true.
That's not true when at I all.
When I think about, yep, okay.
I don't, I'm sure there probably is maybe one. I just can't think of one.
Have you ever experienced something like you did with Adam Driver with someone else? Like you watched all their content?
No.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
Back to what you said about not, you're like, if someone's not in front of me, I'm not really thinking about them. This seems exactly like that. It's just like, unless I'm actively looking at them, they're not on my mind.
Yes.
Every time we're not speaking, Jewel is thinking about a specific
Formula One.
I was going to say, is it F1? Yeah.
Yeah. What are you thinking about right now?
I'm thinking about Lewis Hamilton right now, but I was thinking about Sergio Perez earlier.
Who?
Sergio Perez.
Who?
Sergio Perez.
Who's that?
He's a really great F1 driver.
Oh, you're an F1?
And this is just what happens.
Cool. You gotta talk to my friend Rozzy. He's really into F1.
I would love to talk to your friend Rozzy.
And he's a streamer.
I would
have him on.
I'm going to hop in.
He's a VTuber.
Ooh.
So that could be interesting.
Okay, we're getting him on the pod. What's VTubing?
VTubing is, virtual tubing. It's when someone has like a digital avatar and that's their streamer persona. So you never know their face.
That
yeah, stuff. He's a raccoon.
I didn't even know that was what that was called. I watch that stuff all the time.
Sometimes it's like anime looking characters. Sometimes it's just like,
I just love it.
Any kind of like 2D, like JPEG kind of stuff.
Oh, you can be anonymous a little. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very uncanny.
That's like
me.
The next level of animosity I could get to. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Okay. I'm sorry. I couldn't think of anyone.
No, don't be sorry. Like, don't. This is a great answer.
It's so awesome. Okay. God, that's so awesome.
If I think of someone, I'll let y'all know.
Please do.
The fact that you can't off the top of your head is like the best part.
Our final segment that we like to do with our guests is ask you to recommend something or a couple of things. Mm-hmm. So, Kip, what do you recommend?
I recommend taking magnesium, maybe.
Yeah.
But the right kind of magnesium, magnesium glycate.
Not the citrate. That'll make you shit like crazy. I said that about a lot of stuff today, on and off recording. But
I'd recommend that if you're feeling tired in the mornings.
Wait, what is it, like a supplement or something?
Yeah, it's a supplement.
Is it a vitamin?
Okay. Yeah, it's a vitamin. Okay. I'm not trying to be like a vitamin type of like pusher or anything like that.
I'm pro vitamins.
Because I don't know, maybe it's
so
helpful.
Good for sleeping.
Okay, great.
Maybe, you know what I'm going to say? I don't know. Never mind. I'm going to take it back. Maybe it's
take
not
it
good.
Back.
I take it. That's like the only vitamin I take, but maybe it doesn't work. I don't know. Anyway, another thing I'd recommend is if you're rocking with Free Palestine, if you go to Arab.org, you can click on a little button and the ad revenue from the website donates to people in Palestine, which is really cool.
Hell yeah.
Easy thing to do. And also just follow people on social media that are promoting that too, or like giving resources. I mean, you can go to my Instagram and I'm always sharing stuff, but you can then look at who I'm sharing and like follow those people instead of me. And I also recommend to get off that phone. Get off that phone, though. Like, go protest and go outside and feel the sun and get in community with people. Sometimes, you know, go on your phone when you need to, and it's important to do that sometimes. But, and also, it's good to, don't doom scroll, you know, make it, if you're really wanting to make change, you know, go do those things. But don't doom scroll stuff that's just, like, not doing anything for you. It's hard, but maybe with the magnesium maybe it'll help. I don't know,
you'll be so well rested you won't even want to look at your phone.
I don't know, it's all hard, but you know, the dopamine breaks, you know.
Totally.
That's good. I think you know, that stuff is really is doing stuff to my brain. I'm trying to fix that.
Totally.
Yeah, that's what I'll say.
Great Rex.
Yep, those are excellent recommendations. Nice work.
Thank you.
Really good.
Okay.
Can you believe what a good guest?
Can you believe this?
I can't.
Am I doing all right?
This was perfect.
Like, really good guest. Okay. All right.
Do you have anything you want to promote?
Yeah, what can you promote?
I do want to promote something.
Yes.
Wednesday, July 17th.
Yes.
If it's not already past that, I'm doing a live comedy show at the Elysian Theater with a bunch of Twitch streamers.
Ooh, nice.
Doing live clown comedy, and this is actually the first time ever talking about it, so this is breaking news.
It's
on
an
here
exclusive.
It's going in my
anyone
calendar.
Who's listening to this can go see it. So you can buy tickets. I will post that on my socials if you want to see what that is, but a lot of really cool guests. I won't say the guest's name, that's still a secret. But it's already booked, it's already there. I've been working on this for a while and I'm very excited to be doing that. Me and my friend Dylan are putting it all together.
My friend Dylan,
who was I was parasocial with, who is now my best friend, who is doing
so. Actually, in a lot of ways, it worked out great.
If you know Chad, do you know Chad? I mean, yeah, he's going to be a big part of that. If that's kind of a sneak peek as to what that show is going to be like, very excited. I'm so stoked. A lot of really awesome Twitch streamers going to be on. Yeah,
it's in my calendar. I can't wait.
I can't wait.
I'm excited. Yeah,
that's awesome. Anything else to promote?
Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.
And how do our followers form parasocial relationships with you? Through what platforms?
Anywhere. Just go to any website and type Hey Kip and just see what happens. I think that's
all of
fair.
Them.
Yeah.
Let it rip.
Yeah. Chances are, I don't know.
That's great that you locked it down everywhere. Mm-hmm. That's huge.
Mm-hmm. I tried.
Well, congrats on being the best guest ever.
And I'll keep it there. I'll
the
be
best
at the number
we've
one.
Had so far.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Because I guess technically you were the first guest.
Yes. And definitely you were better than that.
Okay.
You're killing it.
I can't tell you. I can't tell you that.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks for hanging out.
We promise to engage with you non-parasocially from here on out.
Bless you.
If we both saluted at the same time, that would have been really good, and we should start that.
Thanks for listening to the Parasocial Social Club. Enjoyed this episode? Feel free to leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts. It means the world. This podcast is produced by Garrett Labonte, theme music done by Brighty Hicks. And for Garrett's Corner Pick of the Week, cutting up cherry tomatoes and mixing them in a little bit of balsamic vinegar and with a little bit of salt. Any dish that calls for tomatoes, this is the way to upgrade it. See ya!